What's up, guys? Welcome back to our new podcast. We are very excited to have you here again for this episode. This podcast is something very special that we prepared for you. We have a very cool topic today, so stay tuned until the end of the podcast. And remember that this is Illumina, the podcast. The podcast.
Special about this podcast, and that is it is the first one in English. So we have already been able to reach 16 countries in this world just in Spanish, and we are ready for how God is going to use this podcast in so many more countries now that we get to do this in English as well. I'm Elizabeth, and I'm going to be asking the questions today, but our special guests that we have here with us are Yeshua and Paula, and they're going to introduce themselves. They're going to tell us a little bit why they are here, how they got here at the San Diego Baja base, what is God doing in their lives in this moment, and, you know, all that amazing stuff. So we'll start with Paula, and she's going to explain a little bit of her story.
Okay, hi. I'm very excited to be here today with you guys. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, so my name is Paula. I'm from England. I have been in Mexico for 9 years, which
wow.
is crazy. Every time I say it, I'm kind of like, what? But yeah, 9 years, and I absolutely love this country. I've adopted it as my home and my country, and just, yeah, it's a place that I absolutely love. It's somewhere that the Lord's really put my heart, and I'm super excited that I'm here. I arrived here in 2012. I literally found this YWAM base on Google. I was sitting in a pub garden one night with my friends, and I said, I need to know the Lord more.
Wow.
I need to know who he is, because I've run away from him for the last 2-3 years. My life's a mess, and I need to really know who he is. So she said, why don't you look up YWAM? I was like, all right, so look it up on Google. I found this YWAM base in LA and San Francisco. I saw all the ministries that happened here on this base in Tijuana, and the ministries were like prison ministries, working with people on the street, working with the women in the red light district, and that was something that the Lord called me to when I was 13 years old, and I was like,
wow.
This is the place that I need to go.
Wow,
so fast forwarding, it was super cool.
Yeah.
I arrived here, I arrived in San Diego at 10:30 at night in March 2012.
And how old were you then?
I was,
That's not a question for a woman.
Hey, that question wasn't written down.
You're right, it wasn't.
I was 28.
Right, that's amazing.
Yeah. So a lady from the YWAM base, she drove over to San Diego at 10:30 at night, picked me up. We're driving up the Via Rapida, which is the huge road that takes you into Mexico. Everything's pitch dark.
Yeah.
It smells kind of interesting, but in this moment, you probably get it too. But in this moment, I felt like for the first time in my life, I could breathe, because I felt
that's
like so I'd arrived home.
Yeah,
so it was something super beautiful that the Lord did in my life, as like a real confirmation of like, this is your house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is your home. This is what I've made you to do.
That's
and yeah. I'm here still today.
That's awesome. 9 years later. That's awesome. Yeshua, tell us a little about yourself.
People that is here in this podcast. I'm sorry, my English is not super good, but
great.
I'm trying. Obviously from Mexico, if you can notice my Mexican accent.
<We love it. laughs>
But yeah, I get into missions when I was 19 years old.
Wow.
I'm 29. I'm 28 now. So, yeah. I did my DTS in 2012 in the city of Mazatlán, Mexico. Yeah, it's an awesome place. We just record another podcast before this one with Joseph Vega. He's the director of the YWAM Mazatlán base.
Oh, wow.
So
awesome.
It was pretty awesome. We had a great time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had a chance, the opportunity to go to Argentina and Chile for my outreach. And then after my DTS, my disciple training school, I did a secondary school, which that's the way that we call it here in YWAM, named WISE. It's Worship, Intercession, Spiritual Welfare, and Evangelism. So, and I went to India for outreach. That was a wild place to put in practice the spiritual warfare. That was sick, insane. So yeah, I'm married with a beautiful, my beautiful wife. She's from Colombia, We have two beautiful kiddos. Mm-hmm. The oldest is about to turn 3 years in June, and the youngest is Daniel. He is 1 year and a half. So, yeah, I'm in the busy season of being a parent.
<I'm sure.
laughs> and enjoying life here in our here in my home, YWAM San Diego Baja, serving with all my heart with the worship department and translating and schools, and also here enjoying the Illumina podcast.
Right, woo. That's awesome. So you, Paula, have been doing missions for 9 years, is that correct?
Yeah.
And how many years have you been doing missions for, Yeshua?
I've been in missions since 2012, help me. Nine years.
Okay, right. So you two are clearly very experienced. But in this podcast specifically, we want to just keep in mind that, like, the people that are listening to this might not know anything,
yeah.
right? Uh-huh. So the stories we're going to share at this table, they're going to be impactful. But something about our podcast is that we really don't hold anything back. We talk about the uncomfortable things. We talk about the scary things. We talk about the funny things, because we want people to know, like, this is the life of a missionary. And that is what it's about. So, yeah, whatever stories you guys want to share at this table, like, do it fully. Don't hold back, because anyone could be listening to this, but we want to be honest and real with them about this.
Yeah.
And with that, I want to start with something that might intimidate people a little bit, but will be good to talk about. And Yeshua, I am sure you have plenty of these. We'll start with you in this one. We want to hear some of the scariest stories that you have experienced in missions. We know that with the Lord, fear is not existent, but it still happens because we're human.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give us some of your moments of whether it be India, any of your time in missions. It could be here at the base where you were just like, oh, Lord, what am I doing? Like, I don't know if tomorrow's coming for me or not.
Yeah. I could go from the very basics into the very dark spiritual things.
No, give it all. I'm so serious.
Thinking about India, it's an interesting country. Right. In the moment that I arrived, that I landed into the New Delhi airport, man, I get off from the plane, and though that was a time where you landed and then you have to walk, because there wasn't enough doors for you to just cross. And then in the moment that I just landed and I step on that country, man, I felt an spiritual weight in my chest, so hard and so heavy.
Right.
And also, as you landed in Mexico, it was a weird smell. India.
India,
man, India has a mix of very random smells.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You can smell from cow poop into the.
That's when you know you're in the mission field. Sorry.
Into and you can smell to men doesn't use
deodorant
over there, so you can kind of like imagine. What kind of smells we face.
Not very welcoming. That was scary enough.
Yeah. And I honestly felt in a whole other world.
Yeah.
I am in another planet.
Yeah. Right.
That was my first contact with the Asian world.
Yeah.
So it was pretty wild. I was young still. I was 20.
Yeah.
I was trying to learn what to do. I was trying to grow in my relationship with God as I was walking through that school. I wasn't ready for the wild India.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe that this is basic, but yeah, I was scared to be there.
Yeah.
I was scared to be in India, and knowing that I was too far away from my home, home Mexico.
No
I was
escape.
Like, yeah, no, and I was just thinking of my security and am I good here?
Yeah.
God, am I supposed to be here or not? Yeah. I was scared with a very mix of emotions that I was like, man, I was doubting to be there.
Right.
But with the school that we were doing and the country that we are talking about, the enemy was attacking me in that area, in that area that he was putting that fear into my heart for me to be distracted and done. be fulfilling the purpose of God mm-hmm. on me in that team right. and in that country.
Yeah. Right. And yeah. the Lord's going to call us to a lot of places, but just because we feel good about our calling does not mean fear doesn't exist. Like,
yeah, no,
you're
yeah.
set, and you're like, the Lord has me going to India, and I'm ready, but you can step on the ground, smell the cow poop, and be like, I'm out. I don't know about this. But yeah, let's hear. Yeah, yeah Paul, we want to know what you have.
Yeah, I was thinking about my first short-term mission trip. Mm-hmm. So I was 18 years old, and it was, yeah, like I said, my first time just to go out. I was used to traveling, but I mm-hmm. always traveled with my family. Mm-hmm. So I went to Uganda in Africa, mm-hmm. and I went with 5 or 6 people that I did not know at all. I was the youngest. They were all older. And we went to go to be in a jungle in Uganda, and this jungle was so tiny that it didn't even exist on maps.
Oh, gosh.
So we landed in the big city. Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, where are we going? So we land in the big city. We spend a night there, and outside the tiny house that we stay in, there's like men with guns like guarding right. us. Wow. So I'm just like, wow. Oh, gosh, what is this place? Yeah, right? Then we get in this crazy little van that I think is literally just going to break. And we just drive for like hours, like 3 hours. And we get like, maybe it's 2 hours in, and we get like on the edge of the jungle mm-hmm. and the roads change mm-hmm. and they turn to like dirt. Mm-hmm. And we're driving along in this van, and we're literally like jumping out of our seats like all the time. And the mud was so deep on one side that the van, you looked out the window and you can see the floor. And I was just like, I'm going to die. And I was with people I didn't know.
Right,
so
that
I'm like,
a difference.
Oh, you can't
right.
even hug me to make me feel happy. Do you right. know what I mean? I don't right. even know you. Right. And then we get to the village, and it's literally just... Yeah, completely different to anything I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. And there's the sheriff, like the head police officer yeah, yeah. of mm-hmm. the village, and we have to go present ourselves to him so that he will keep us safe.
That happened to our team too. We had to go. And, yeah.
It's crazy.
And we were in New Delhi, but in a different location, and the name of that little town was Greater Noida.
Wow, so that's so beautifully impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. That's it's crazy. Kind of a weird
Greater Noida.
Sounds better. Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good. I like it. So, yeah, we presented ourselves. He was like, okay, I'm going to make sure you're safe for the next 2 weeks. We're like, okay, great. What does that mean? And, I mean, first of all, I saw a lot of cows around. And I don't do well with animals. I have a reputation that they chase me everywhere. I got chased off a mountain in Spain once by a donkey. But that's another story. But anyway, we arrive at where we're going to stay in this little village. And it's literally one of them circle mud huts that have all the straw on the top.
And there's 6 of you, right?
There's 6 of us, and we were going to stay in that little mud hut with the pastor and his family.
Wow.
So we go in, and there's, like, cockroaches everywhere. The floor is mud, too. And I just was just like, oh, my God, what am I doing? Yeah, and it was just such an incredible experience, but a really, like, eye-opening experience, because every night we had to be in at 6 in the evening because it was dangerous for us to be outside. But also then at every night at like 7, the witches would come and they would put spells over the doorposts of the little mud hut. Yeah, because it was the pastor's mud hut, right?
Yeah,
so
in
Africa, the spiritual warfare is like in your face, literally, or at your door, you know? So we're just sitting in this tiny mud hut, and it's just like, okay, we can just hear all the witches outside making all these
your powers. Everything you can, right?
Wow, that's
intense. Yeah. That's intense.
But
that's
it was actually another moment that the Lord was like, hey, this is what I've made you for. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
That's
like, weirdly, I knew, but like, there was this kind of like, what the heck am I doing?
And I think that can be the best moment in missions, where you are in that moment of fear, but like there's a peace that just comes from the Lord's presence, and that's what you really have to lean into in order to pull you through that moment and get you out
on
the side.
I was too far in to even run away and get out, so
and that, I mean, that leads well to another question we wanted to ask, and that is, what has been in your past, both of you, your past 9 years, the most spiritual moment you've experienced in missions? It might be something like that, something that was spiritual warfare, where witches were casting spells. It could be something where, honestly, you're here in your comfortable house at this base, and you're just doubting everything that God has called you to do. Like, what has been a moment these past 9 years that was very spiritually heavy for you in either way?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Or I think, I think like what you were saying, it could be so many different things. I think something that I'm doing right now is working in Hope Zone, which is a ministry that we have for families in Zona Norte, which is on the north zone of the center of Tijuana. And actually, sometimes it's not about them big wow moments, but it's about that daily life of walking alongside the mums that we're discipling, or the kids that we're discipling, or the dads that we're discipling, or the people that we know on the street, and just walking daily with them just to see how, like, bit by bit they're learning who Jesus is, and you're bit by bit seeing them let go of fear and insecurity and lies and doubt, and you're starting to see their whole faces change, their eyes change, their lifestyle change. And I think for me, that's just, I don't know, that's something beautiful, and that's something so honoring that we can, the Lord lets us walk alongside these most beautiful people and watch him change their hearts and change families. And I think for me, like, that's such a beautiful experience. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes I'm like, Jesus, help me. But, like, it's one of the most beautiful things that I think spiritually I can be a part of, you know. So I'm really, really thankful for that, yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Oh, man. Thinking first about a very heavy spiritual moment that I faced it, and that I have it right here in my mind, that I it's just fresh. It's like it happened yesterday. When I was doing my wife's school, I was struggling a lot with the finances. I was my lecture fees was paid off miraculously, and I was sitting in my room. This new album from Hillsong came up, and that album's name was Zion.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to their songs, and I was doubting of my calling and of God's faithfulness. I was doubting too.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a Wednesday, and they told me, you know what, Joshua, we love you, and we are here for you. But finances are not coming, and by tomorrow, Thursday, if you don't have your money, we have to live without you.
Wow.
We have to pay our buy our tickets to India, because the time is over, and we love you, but we are so sorry, and that we can't help you. And I was sitting in my room in that night, and I was listening to that song, and I just felt so much heaviness in my spirit, and so much doubt of God's faithfulness. I was like, God, why did you provide for my lecture phrase and you're not providing for my outreach? Why is these people going without me? Why?
Yeah.
I was with a mix of emotions and thoughts, that I was like even kind of like grumpy and saying why they don't do more for me, and I was like in this position of victim a little bit.
Yeah.
And
we put ourselves in that a lot.
Yeah. And I was in this hard time, and I doubt of God's faithfulness constantly.
Totally.
And then all of a sudden, a message from one of my friends. She was my DTS leader and my outreach, and we make a really good relationship as a friends. And she said, "Yeshua, what are you doing right now?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm sitting in my room, and I'm having a time with God."
Yeah.
Okay, when you are done, I need to talk to you. my parents just got to the base and I want you to meet them. Okay, sounds good. And they came from Canada and I met them before in my outreach and they really liked me and that was super awesome and I still in touch with them. Mm-hmm. And they just got here, she said, and they want to talk to you and invite you to for tacos. Mm-hmm. Because his son my friend's brother, uh-huh. He was doing the WISE school with me.
Okay.
So we were very close. Yeah. We were very close friends. I was friend of Rachel, and I was friend of Dan. And and I was like, okay, yeah, thank you. I will let you know. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, I was just cleaning my tears in my face and trying to find comfort. And, I got changed and... Okay, let's go for tacos.
You can't. You, happy
you, yeah, you tacos can't deny like it for tacos, right?
Right.
You can't. Yeah. You can't ever say no to tacos. Yeah, it doesn't matter what is your mood. Tacos are good for every mood.
Right.
If you're hungry, get tacos. If you're happy, get tacos.
If you're crying in your room, down
and
God's playing for you,
get tacos.
I like it.
And I went and that night they were talking to me and hey, how are you doing? We miss you and we are so happy to be here. And how is your relationship with Dan and my son? And we were chatting. Yeah. And yeah, we ate, and at the end, they said, "You know what? We know that you have done a lot to get finances, and just finances doesn't come through.
Mm-hmm.
But we felt from the Lord to pay you off your outreach."
Wow,
that's
awesome!
I love that. That's
amazing. We just paid to the base the $3,800 that you needed for your outreach.
So cool.
You are fully paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so nice.
You are fully paid, and you just go and serve.
Right.
Yeah, and I was from the sadness moment of my life mm-hmm. until that point.
Happiest,
I was I went into the happiest. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I take it as a spiritual moment because uh-huh. man, I was so down.
Yeah.
I was very sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden God's faithfulness show up and he said he's napping in my face and he said, "I'm still here, son. And I want you and I want you in India and I want you to shine."
Yeah.
And I was the only Mexican in that team.
Okay.
I was the only one. We went eight people and all of them were either Canadian or Americans.
So now this is why you know English. I mean, you had to learn for that.
I had to learn, yeah.
You had no other option.
I hadn't to learn English. I didn't have any translator, and I was trying.
Awesome.
I was just coming up from my DTS, and when you come to the DTS, you get either Spanish or English.
Yeah, right. One or the other.
I think for that time I could understand almost everything, but I couldn't communicate myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I learned that a lot. Yeah. But yeah, that moment was pretty awesome. And yeah, I just, it's like it happened yesterday. And I still seeing God's faithfulness moving through
again
even today.
Yeah.
Even today, I'm getting a surgery in May 10th.
Mm.
And I wasn't zero of
being able to pay for
and I needed to pay $4,200 and on Sunday when we sold arepas colombianas Colombian arepas, it's a typical food in Colombia, so it's very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
So good, you have to try it.
Appetizing.
when we were selling that, a marriage couple texted us and they said, "You know what, We've been praying and we feel that we need to pay off everything you need for your surgery."
That's so cool.
Man, I keep seeing God's faithfulness over and over and over and over. And you know, in missions, you don't get paid.
Right.
You
that's
just,
that's a good word. That's huge.
You don't get paid. You don't have a check
coming
into your mail every week.
Mm-hmm. No.
You just need to raise your own support. And we were just believing that God will do it, and And he did.
But
he
his timing's so key, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like his faithfulness in timing and like every time it just blows my mind.
Because
it's like, ah, if you'd done that one day earlier, it wouldn't have been as significant as it was if you did it today.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like he knows every tiny, tiny detail,
yeah. oh,
right?
Oh, man.
And it's awesome. So beautiful. Yeah, yeah beautiful. I love that. Yeah.
Something I think that is important when, for those who are listening and might not know that much about missions, like when you are living the life of a missionary, like Yeshua just said, you don't get that constant paycheck. You're not having all this money to cover all the things you need to pay. But yes, it opens up a life of what could be fear and doubt. Mm-hmm. You can choose to live in that, or you can choose to just rejoice in his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Like you were just yeah. sharing. I mean, it just gives so many more opportunities for God to show you, I am here for you yesterday, today, yep. and tomorrow. And
yeah.
that does not fail.
Yeah.
And even when you may not get the exact amount of money you need, or you may not hear that response from the Lord right away, it doesn't change. Like we don't
yeah.
have an,
yeah.
a God that changes. He
yeah.
is consistent.
Yeah.
And that yeah. is something you learn when you are a missionary mm-hmm. more than anything else. Like, my Lord is going to be faithful regardless yeah. of who I am and how I feel
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
And something I noticed about both of you, what you just shared, you were talking about community and people that have come to pay for you. You were sharing going on your first mission trip and not knowing anyone you were with.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is really big in the mission field, and this isn't one of the questions, but I want to touch on it. It's that community that you have with
yeah.
you, the people who walk beside you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love it if you two could briefly share, like, what does it mean as a missionary to you to have a community that is walking along beside you? Like, what is that? Explain to me the importance of that. And yeah, we'll start
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, for me, that's everything. To have a community, to have people around me, to have people sending me emails from back home or just dropping me a message or, I don't know, responding to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But just knowing that there's people that are thinking about you, people
mm-hmm.
that are praying for you, people that are like 100% for you and they have your back and they're like cheering you on from wherever in the
mm-hmm.
world. It can be right close. It can be literally
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
in the same room as you,
yeah.
but it can
yeah.
literally be the other side of the world too. And I think
yeah.
having that community for me is everything. Like
yeah.
I
yeah.
think if I had no one else cheering me on and I was just literally out here doing it on my own,
yeah.
it would be a completely different experience.
Yeah.
Right.
And I
yeah.
think the Lord from the beginning created us to be in community, right? That's
yeah.
what he wanted.
Yeah.
And so I think to make sure that we have a good community around us,
yeah.
people that we can sit face to face with and chat to and cry
mm.
with and laugh
mm-hmm.
with and joke with and can share stories.
Go get
brings
tacos
life.
Yeah.
Go get tacos with. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
It just brings life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps you just to keep going every
yeah,
day, you know?
Yeah.
And I think even for me, like whenever I get a random message from someone in England, I'm like, I just feel so loved and not forgotten and just so remembered.
Mm.
And I thank the Lord for everyone that does that, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I think it just, yeah, community is everything, no?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I think what the book of Acts teaches us, how the early church started this, they were family.
Yeah. yeah.
They were selling
yeah.
their houses and giving money to the poor people.
Yeah.
They were just, they
did
were just, yeah, just selling everything and,
yeah.
and saying with their action, I don't care the earthly things.
Right.
Yeah.
I just care what I'm provoking in God's heart.
Yes.
And I want to take care of the, of
yeah.
the need that,
right.
that I see. And for me, I have seen so many people in my life that
mm-hmm.
are acting like in the book of Acts.
Yes.
That are, that their hearts are genuine to
yeah.
give and to be with you, to stand in the
yeah.
gap with you. And man, yeah, you need family because as a missionary, we give up our comfort zone. And that means one of our comfort zones is family.
Yeah.
Right.
So you
for
feel,
real.
You
right.
feel,
yeah.
you,
right.
you leave your mom, your dad,
right.
you leave your siblings or whatever. And you just come into a new country, into a
yeah.
new place,
mm-hmm.
rent your house with roommates, and they don't
mm-hmm.
know what how they are. And you'll,
no.
That's a lot of that,
yeah.
that's another
I just
thing,
moved in
right?
With my first roommate a few days ago, so we'll see how it goes.
That's a different podcast.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
a different. Yeah, roommates. Yeah, roommates and missions.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that will
so,
be fun.
And all that you need because you give up your blood family.
Yeah.
It's another
yeah.
family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
so it's very important to
yeah.
have a community that faced the battles with you, and they are there to lift up your tired arms and say, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I may don't have the money to support you, but I'm praying for you. I'm crying out for you, and I'm here for you.
It's really, good. It's really good. I think also something just on community is that during my time in missions, I've found that I have received community from people that I don't even know. You know, and so I think even having that is like just the extra level of just seeing the Lord's faithfulness, you know, because I even remember one time my computer got stolen. And at that point, my computer was my contact with my family back in England. And so for me, it was like, it's a computer. I know that can be replaced, you know, but I was like, that's my contact with my family. Wow. And it was just really like a difficult time for me. That was like in my first or my second year in missions. And it was really crazy because someone on the staff here spoke to a friend who lived in Canada or somewhere else like this. And they just suddenly mailed their computer to me so that I could have a computer.
Did they even know that? You had no idea who these people were.
I had no idea. Wow. And they wrote a note inside, which honestly was like more impacting than the computer. But it was just like such a beautiful note just saying, we're so sorry this happened to you. We understand how much you need to have contact with your family. We want to give our computer to you. And like, we want to let you know that we're praying for you. We love you. And we're praying that the Lord provides everything that you need. And I was just like, I don't even know these people. But I just like cried because even through that, the Lord brings community out of nowhere. Like, I don't even know them to today, you know, but like, it's awesome.
It's still part of it, right? Community is such a big part of the life of mission. So it's just like what we wanted to touch on today. But I mean, it comes through, you know, like you guys were saying, the people who are walking beside you, the other people who are your roommates living with you, the people who, you know, you're married to, like they're your biggest partner in life. They're walking through it with you. Everyone at this base, they're walking beside it with you. But then there's people, like you said, you don't even know them. God uses them, makes them a part of your community. And that is a really big part of missions that people might not fully understand the impact of until they're really in it. As we start to get closer to the end of this, I want to ask you guys, for those people who are listening to this who have considered the life of missions, I have just finished my DTS. I'm sitting here talking to people who have been doing this for almost a decade, and I just moved in with my first roommate, starting staff. Like, it's exciting things, but I really know nothing. Like, and I love learning from both of you tonight. But I'd love it if you guys could leave just some tips or advice on, you know, if people are considering joining missions, if they're already in it, starting to doubt it, right? We all come to those points where we completely doubt what we're doing. Just what is your advice that you may have for people who are interested in being it, are already in it, or even those that want to support it, like financially, just be a part of it? What would be the advice you'd leave with them?
I think firstly, remember the last thing that the Lord spoke to you. The last thing that the Lord spoke to you that was clear, stand firm on that. Because there's going to be the moments where you have doubts, that you have fears, that things seem overwhelming. Maybe things don't seem the way that you thought they would look. But I want to just encourage you, every word that the Lord speaks to you, write it down. And then when you're having them moments, go back to that word and read it again and declare it over your life. Stand firm on it and ask the Lord to keep clarifying what he's doing in that moment. The thing is, the cool thing is with missions and with being a Christian and living our life with the Lord, whether we're in overseas missions or whether we are just sharing the gospel with people every day, we have access to hear what God is telling us. So one of my biggest advice is stop. Listen, ask the Lord, what is he saying? And then just live it out. Be so a learner, have a humble heart. And just go out there and follow what the Lord says, no matter what anybody says about you. I think if you look at my life, it's completely opposite to what the world tells me I should be living like. And I'm so thankful for that. I wouldn't have changed it for anything. But if I hadn't have followed the voice of the Lord, my life would be looking very different right now. So follow the voice of the Lord. Stand firm on the words that he speaks over you and keep going ahead.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love that. I totally agree with that. And another thing that I can say, if you have a word from the Lord that you are coming to mission and you are experiencing that, I have two words for you. Keep yourself hungry and teachable.
Yes.
Because as you get into missions, you will be facing these moments of difficulty and when the Lord is stretching you and you're going to suffer a little bit, but keep yourself hungry of his presence, because that is the thing that God is gonna use for you to raise up again, get a new, a fresh revelation and a new strength, and yeah. Just keep doing the work that I'm doing. And also, in community, living in community is hard. Yeah. It's cool, but it's hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Again, a whole other podcast. But
keep yourself teachable.
Yeah.
Because you are always learning. You are always learning.
Yeah.
And you will learn from your roommate, even if they have a mess.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You can learn something, and yeah, as you are facing those challenges of living in community, keep yourself teachable, and also yeah. in the different ministries, keep yourself hungry and teachable.
Okay. Yeah. There's one more thing I want to add, and it's that based on the advice you've given, based on the things that you have just shared with whoever's listening, this comes from life experience. Like, you guys have lived this out. You've seen it yourself. You've seen times where, Yeshua, you can tell yourself, like, I needed to be teachable. I needed to be hungry, mm-hmm. where you've been able to try to remind yourself in moments of doubt. Well, mm-hmm. what did the Lord just talk to me yeah. about? What did he just say to me? I'm going to stay faithful in that.
Yeah.
So based on that, I want you guys to share, to just like encourage and end on a high note for people who are listening, the best thing that God has done through your life, or maybe even someone else's life that you've seen in the mission field, that is just that moment of like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, right? Like, it's just the yeah. click for you that, and there's probably thousands of small moments that you may have even forgotten, and that's okay. But if you can think of one, whether it be through you or whether it be through someone else you've seen, what is that moment for you guys?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I feel like there's hard so many. You. I'm like, oh gosh, right. What one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, just literally, it was for me just stepping in the country and just being here, and the Lord just confirming, like, this is where you're meant to be.
Mexico.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it was just a feeling that I'd never experienced in my life, even though I was grown and brought up in England, and that's my culture, that's my country. Mm-hmm. I never felt like I belonged there.
Right.
So it was just that moment of the Lord like revealing, hey, this is your home.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to be doing. And since that moment, there's been so many more reminders along the way of like, I want you to buy into this land. I want you mm-hmm. to literally buy into this mm-hmm. land. The Lord's that's been awesome. Asking me to step out that's and awesome. Buy a home here too. So I'm literally buying into the land right now, which love is a them. Crazy another story. But also, yeah, just so many different ways, just by friendships that I've mm-hmm. been able to develop with mm-hmm. local people as well, mm-hmm. and just connections and finding like a ministry and a community that I will give my life for, you know. The mm-hmm. Lord's been like, hey, would you give your life for Tijuana? And it's mm-hmm. like, right. shoot, that knocked me down to the floor in yeah. November last right. year. He wow. was like, will you lay down your life for Zona Norte, for Tijuana?
Wow.
And it's like, yeah. shoot. Will I? Yeah.
Right.
Wow. yeah, I will. Wow. That's why yeah. I'm here, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, but that was just a huge, like, moment. And it was such a mm-hmm. beautiful revelation. Yeah. And from that moment, I'm like, yeah, I'm giving my everything
right.
for this place. Yeah.
And when God's doing something good through your life, it doesn't need to be just like that big, groundbreaking moment where it's just like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. This is here, right? Like you said, 9 years ago, you drove up to this base and you felt like you could breathe for the first time. You're still remembering that 9 years ago. Like yeah. people, when we are doing missions, we can get so caught up in the moment of what we're trying to do. And it is good to be learning how to be in the present and be where God has you in that moment. But do not forget about the things that God yeah. has done in your past.
Oh my gosh.
Because as missionaries, our stories are just written by the way the Lord has worked in yeah. so many years. And you think about it, like, if you had never started looking online in that pub with a friend,
yeah.
you would have never found this base.
Right.
And that would have been a decade of your life. That would have been it would have been a decade of your life
yeah.
that
yeah.
just wouldn't exist because mm-hmm. you yeah, chose to sure. sit down, open up that computer, and take that step.
yeah.
And that's
yeah.
something that's so important to remember, because you do it for so long and you start, it's easy to just forget uh-huh. like where you came from, where the Lord had first called you in that yeah. first place, where you were so young in your faith and now you've come so far and mm-hmm. you still have so much more to do yeah. and to go. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And so your answer is definitely great. And it's, you know, this is the most amazing thing the Lord has done through my life. but it's over years. Like it doesn't, it's not just that one moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Yeshua, what about you? Anything that could have been something in your mission field experience, seeing someone else?
Yeah. Something that really fits my faith and my passion to be here is just to see lives be transformed. Yeah. And I'm sure you, Paula, has a lot of testimonies mm-hmm. of people being transformed. Yeah. And for me, when I just see people crying out, talking about worship, leading mm-hmm. worship, and this is my main thing right now, and they are crying out and they are laying on the floor and just being themselves mm-hmm. and just being themselves before the presence of God, wow, it's in that moment where I say, this is what am I being part of this. Mm-hmm. This is what I am here.
Yeah.
And I am in the right place, mm-hmm. in the right moment. And also thinking about discipleship, when I hear people coming to me and confessing sins mm-hmm. because they have the trust and they just want to be set free yeah, from that, man, that breaks my heart. And yeah, I keep reminding myself, this is what you are here to.
Yeah,
this exactly. is what you are here. The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed you to bring freedom to the captives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
And you're doing that a lot through worship right now. Like, that is mm-hmm. what you feel is your main ministry. And I think that's mm-hmm. beautiful. And something I want to touch on is the fact that being a missionary, the life of a missionary, is not just about going out to the streets and handing people Bibles. Like, mm-hmm. it's so much more than yeah. that. And we see it in Scripture, just the way our Lord Jesus, like when he came to earth, he was not a man who just stood on the mountaintop and screamed about who he was and how good his God was.
Yeah.
He was the man who went and sat with the beggar. Yeah. He was the man who went and took the sinner from the tree and mm-hmm. ate with him. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. he's a man of action, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the life of a missionary is full of action.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it be through leading worship, whether it be through going to Zona Norte, uh-huh. whether it be putting yourself in danger, whether yeah. it be living moments that are beautiful and seeing redemption yeah. and yeah. laughter. Yeah. Like there are so many beautiful moments yes. that occur, but being a missionary is so much more than what I think people realize it mm-hmm. is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you could quickly tell me, what is it that in this season right now you've been doing worship, what is it that worship means to you in being a missionary? Because worship is a beautiful connection with the Lord, but like, how is this to you, your mission in this moment?
Oh man. That's a really good question. I think that something that I've been learning in the last couple months is that worship is create a culture of singing and repeating. And as we are singing and we are proclaiming, whether it be God's faithfulness, mm-hmm. His power, mm-hmm. Or His goodness to our lives, right. we start as we are singing out loud and we are repeating, we are walking in the culture that we are going to live tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We are walking in that. If we are singing, you're faithful, mm-hmm. your love mm-hmm. is great, we are actually walking in that prophetically.
Yeah. And taking the action.
Yeah, taking it. Yeah. So I think that my role here is to be a worshiper that is leading into the prophetic movement and just to be declaring that freedom in our community and our students and every staff that we are here. So, yeah, that's what I've been learning the last couple of months about
that's
worship.
Been so good.
And, Paul, I want you to answer too, just with Zona Norte right now with what you're doing there. How has your work defined what your mission is in this moment?
Wow. Well, I think the ministry that we have there is, I don't know, for me it's like it fits every aspect of what the Lord's called me to do and be. So the Lord's really spoken to me all my life about just being friends with people, just loving people, just being with the people that many people don't want to be with.
It's sweet.
Mm-hmm. So awesome. There's many people that we meet on the street who live on the street and thousands of people every day walk past them and don't even look at them, but they're our friends. And we love them. And, like, we care about them. And we're discipling them at the point that they're at.
I love
and,
that.
I don't know, for some people it might be the scene as a waste of time, but mm-hmm. it's really not, because mm-hmm. that person's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that person is someone's kid, mm-hmm. is someone's mom, mm-hmm. or is someone's dad. And that person just deserves to have the love from the Lord, like you or me or anyone else deserves the love from the Lord. So I think everything that we get to do in our ministry, working with our families, celebrating the kids' mm-hmm. birthdays, making them feel so special, yeah. like going awesome. And like taking balloons around the house and a little cake and precious. Just celebrating with them right. is just, I don't know, it just brings such a joy to my heart. Like I love bringing like joy to people, love of the Lord to people, and just really spending time with them, because I think spending time with people is a huge need that many people have. Yeah. So I think, I don't know, every element of our ministry really connects with the call that the Lord has given me, really. So yeah. I'm very, very blessed That's to beautiful. Be part
That's
of it.
That's beautiful. Yeah, thank you guys. It's so important that when this topic right now of talking on mission experiences, you know, it's a development. It's something that happens over time. It's going to be, as long as the Lord has called you to, it's going to be what you're doing. But something I want to add just to end our time here is it's so important that whoever is listening to this understands that whether you are a teacher, whether you are a 10-year-old child, whether you are in Uganda living in huts right now, like mm-hmm. does not matter where you are in life and what realm you're living, mm-hmm. you're called to that place in that moment, and God's going to use you to be yeah. a missionary. You're going to have your own missionary experiences there, and they're going to look very different to other people's.
Yeah.
And so, you know, living in a life of comparison can be dangerous, because you're going to hear these yeah. people's stories, and
yeah.
you're going to think, well, why hasn't the Lord done this with me, or why haven't yeah. I seen this or done this? But God is being faithful in your story, in your testament. And
yeah.
I mean, I loved having you guys here, hearing how he's done that with you. I hope that your guys' stories are going to encourage others in English for the very first time. So fun. Yeshua, thank you for being our, you did it wonderful. Fantastic. But yeah. So yeah, your guys' stories, I just inspirational to me, and I'm sure to so many others. So thank you for taking this time. Thank you for being able to sit down and share this with people, because it's really important. And I hope that there is a English podcast coming up next that you guys will also nice. Get to be a part of eventually. So following with that, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for joining the Illumina podcast.
Thank you.
Hey guys, it's so cool to have you here again until the end of this podcast. We are so happy to know that our community is growing every day. We have so many very cool guests and many super interesting topics, so don't miss the next episode. And remember, this is Illumina, the podcast.